Morning, church. How are you all this morning? Meh? Yeah? 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 Yay. I'm fired up. But I'm always fired up on a Sunday morning. Praise God. Thanks be to God. Well, this morning, our scripture comes from a different place. Took a step outside of the lectionary and broke off from the Lenten tradition. And we are diving into Philippians here for today. So shaking things up. We're actually following along with the Lenten study, and it is a scripture that is mentioned this week in the study and goes along with the message. So hear this word from Paul, who wrote to the Philippians in chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Here's what Paul had to say. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equally with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And all of God's people said, Amen. Amen. As I mentioned, for the next 6 weeks, we are going to be engaging in a study here. It's called A World Worth Saving. As we got this book in the office, we looked at it and said, oh, it's the Virginia Tech book, because it's Virginia Tech colors. Yeah, right? We have any Hokies in the house? No. This is a world worth saving. It's going to help us grow in our prayer life and discover how we can be the hands of Christ in this broken world. And during Lent, we have this amazing opportunity to become more involved with acts of mercy and compassion and pray for those who are around us. This book will be going into detail during the Grow Time studies, so I encourage you to attend one at 9:55 after service. But during the sermons, you will hear the message as well. Hopefully, God will speak unto your heart and reiterate a message and really hone it in this Lenten season. This week is a fun one. Speaks about fasting. Oh, joy. Have you ever heard the term fasting and what it means? Fasting is quite fitting for this first week of Lent. This is a season of fasting. It's a spiritual discipline that many times is associated with the start of Ash Wednesday as we move into this season of preparation. So we're getting ready for something to happen. The reason behind fasting is that it began as a tradition focused on ways to develop an openness to God. It's sort of like putting down your luggage so you can hold on and give somebody a hug when you come and visit them. You can't hug them while you got that luggage in your hand. It is an intentional practice to move us closer into ministry and encourage our spiritual growth. Now, you may know somebody who is giving things up this season. Something might be giving up. You might hear people use the term fasting and think they are avoiding some kind of a food. Some people choose food. Some choose other practices. If you're healthy enough to do food, by all means, go for it if you think that's well enough for you. Others would like to give up things like chocolate, or they give up social media. Others do an act that they might do during the day that might be a bad habit that they want to try to stop. They use this time of fasting to help them with that process. One year, I actually gave up clothes shopping for the season of Lent. I had a problem. I was addicted to the Church of Kohl's. Anybody else got that problem? I'm not the only one. They send that wonderful magazine to my house, and you peel back the sticker to see how much money you can save in their stores. Heaven forbid if I'm going to waste a 30% off discount, I'm going to use it. I put it on paper. That's like a treat for me. I didn't realize how much of a problem I had until I went through my spiritual fast. You know, fasting is an act of self-denial. So I had to deny myself passing the Kohl's on the way to work. I had to take another route because I knew the devil was tempting me to stop in. I mean, they're open till God knows who in the nighttime hours. At first, I was doing this fast because others were doing it. And my husband is a former Catholic, so he was used to giving up something, especially in his family. They gave up meat on Fridays, so they would have fish on Fridays. So that was a way he gave up stuff. So I'm like, all right, yeah, I'll give up shopping from Kohl's. Why not? I'll do that. But as I went through the season, I began learning more about fasting, and I became more serious about my approach. I was encouraged through my studies at church to start documenting some things and noticing habits and how things were happening in my life with this fast. After I sat and reflected on my experience, it made me aware of my spending habits and how it was impacting my discipleship. Now, how could a little coupon for Kohl's impact your discipleship, you may be asking? I was unable to give. That's how. I was in a spending problem, and I didn't realize it. I was unable to give much to the church because I kept writing checks to pay bills. I would spend my money on a sweater rather than spend money on a child's book and a child's dinner. I was unable to give to the church because I allowed a coupon to block me from blessing someone in the form of my offering. Talk about an oy vey moment. What I learned was that it's not about the act of fasting and telling people that you're fasting, but how fasting leads to intentional spiritual development and direction. It wasn't until I reflected on my act, until I understood what I was doing. Now, perhaps you are more advanced in your spiritual direction, and maybe you have a great habit of reflecting. But we have to ask, how does fasting motivate us and help us demonstrate God's love and mercy in the world? There are many examples in the Bible of traditional fasts. The Israelites did it. The people of God did it several times a year. The Jewish people did it. They continue to do it. In our gospel lesson this morning, if we were to follow the gospel of Mark, Mark speaks about how Jesus went up to the wilderness for 40 days. And in that 40 days, Jesus saw and felt temptations from Satan. Now, Jesus' time of preparation and prayer prior to beginning his public ministry involves fasting. We do not know why he fasted prior to his ministry. Heck, we don't know what he fasted from. It's not documented. But Jesus is focused on his prayers and on his relationship with God for the sake of his mission, for what he was about to get ready to do, and especially when he was about to save our world. We see scriptures where Jesus prays and fasts not only for himself, but for his followers and for the world. Even in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus expected his followers to continue the fast in ways that would not draw attention to themselves. It's not just going around showing, oh, I'm fasting. Look at me, I'm fasting. Who cares? Fasting is not a way to brag. It's a way to serve. Fasting is a way to let go of our earthly cares for a time and stand empty before God. Fasting is how we imitate Jesus Christ in the wilderness. The invitation to imitate Christ calls for more than action of just giving up food or chocolate or shopping. It should be the giving of something that will make a difference during the season of Lent and well beyond Easter. That's one of the reasons I don't give up chocolate, because I know I'm going to pick it back up again. What I learned when I gave up my spending was it changed my spending habits. I was more focused on my offering than I was about receiving that coupon. So what can we give up that will be meaningful to our spiritual development? One thing that was very prominent this week with the saturation of bad news, cynicism, and hopelessness is that we can fast from apathy. And the author of this study encourages us to fast from apathy. Many do not feel the desire to make a difference in the world, and they do not believe their voice can help a fallen world. Apathy is the lack of feeling compassion. It is a state of indifference. Those who feel apathy may no longer care about things or take interest in situations because they see the world as stacked up against us. You know, we've done so much. This world's so big. Why even try? We don't matter. That's what apathy is. They think no matter how hard they try, they'll get pushed down again. An apathetic person believes the problems are so large that they cannot and will not make a difference. They believe that. So why even bother do anything? Why bother? Well, because God thinks this world is worth saving. God says that this world is worth saving. Don't believe me? John 3:16. John 3:17. And a couple of other scriptures. We'll be here all day if we read through all those scriptures. We can and we do make a difference. Your smile may have changed someone's perspective on life today. When we shared the peace of Christ, that could have meant the world to somebody today. They may have needed to hear those words. The email that you sent this week, the card that you gave somebody last week in the mail. Maybe it was a phone call that you made. It meant the world to somebody. You never know when you are brightening somebody's day. You never know when your caring action will redeem somebody's world. It can be just the smallest thing. So this Lent, why don't we give up the non-caring attitude and fast from apathy? It may seem easy for some to do, might be obvious for others, but for many, it is the most hardest thing to do. We cannot give up apathy like somebody gives up chocolate or spending. For many, it will mean pinpointing times of grief and sorrow. It will mean facing situations that appear too challenging, obstacles that get in the way. There might be underlying heartaches. There might be a need to involve forgiveness and reconciliation. We grieve when we are faced with challenges because they show us the brokenness of our world. It is hard to come face to face with division and think that the world is worth saving. But in a world where it seems there is more news of gun violence than acts of charity, how much longer do we have to wait? How much more is a non-apathetic world needed? How many more classrooms, movie theaters, colleges, houses of faith, shopping malls, street corners. How many more lives is it going to take to recognize that we as a nation have a problem that runs deeper than any legislation can address? It's a heart issue, not a law issue. Is our city, our state, our nation worth redeeming? To find the answers, we must look deep within and reflect. We are too quick to jump and not reflect. We must pray and be shown direction. That is how we reflect. It will take imagination for transformation to begin. We cannot do it alone. Every little step helps. We must call on the help of our Lord to help guide us in these times. And we cannot continue to blame each other for not doing anything or put off loving one another. We must pray for God's direction during this time. From prayer, we can move to action. And it can be the smallest thing. We read the words of Jesus' sacrificial love. He lived in a time that was engulfed with violence, inequality, confusion, chaos, and corruption. You read the scriptures, it's like reading the same thing in the newspaper today. Yet we read in Philippians how Christ, though he was equal to God, he humbled and emptied himself and became a slave and obeyed God, even to the point of death on a cross. Wow! He loved us so much that he died for us. I mean, what? There's a hymn that is talked about in the book as well as in our hymnals. What wondrous love is this? Are you familiar with that tune? What wondrous love is this? Oh, my soul. Oh, my soul. Man, Jesus' non-apathetic behavior saved a world. We can learn from that, folks. Even amid the turmoil and sin, God thinks that the world is worth saving. Do you think the world is worth saving? If, like Jesus Christ, we believe the world is worth saving, then why don't we act on behalf of Christ for the sake of the world? We don't have to go out there and all guns a-blazing. Heck, we don't need to use the guns. We can use our faith, our love. How might you show God's wondrous love to others? Will you serve others in ways that Jesus served others? Will you speak and act against injustice in the world? Will you feed the hungry? Find ways to change policies. Maybe you can clothe the naked or minister to the homeless or those who are hurting. Will you make God's justice and love real on earth for somebody? You have each been given spiritual gifts and physical gifts. How will you use them in the world to show God's love? It begins with just a simple action. Your action. God invites us to fast from apathy and to love the world as Jesus Christ loves the world. This week, go and love somebody. It's going to be uncomfortable. What wondrous love is this? Amen.